Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast, an exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Hello, we are on episode number
102. Sorry, I literally had to yawn right before we said hello.
That is going to indicate it's going to be a really exciting episode for you guys. Yeah. She's yawning in excitement, ladies and gentlemen.
That's exactly what it is.
My name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priya Darshini.
And my name is Shama Lee.
And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, we also have an Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
So please send us your comments, questions, concerns, anything that you want to ask us. We get DMs from all over the world. We're so grateful. And so keep talking.
I thought you were going to say, we're so popular.
we're so grateful and so humble and so
some of us.
Appreciative of all of the DMs that we get. And yeah. They're from around the world and people are asking questions. And also please like tell us what episode you're on. I actually love interacting and like asking what episode people are on.
Right.
Let us know what episode you're on. If you're learning anything, if you're hating anything, please just send us some love in our DMs.
Nice.
Love it.
All right. Quick recap of last episode.
We talked about things.
We did. Shama Sangeeta, you want to kickstart us?
I would love to. Thank you so much for the opportunity so that I may dive deeper in my devotional service in this beautiful book, Shamali. That's so nice.
Wow.
I really appreciate.
What a response.
Wow, you're welcome, boo. That's what you did to me last episode.
She's a great sister. And, you know, we should always just have spiritual friends like, you know, Shamali.
She's like talking so much until she can figure out what recap she's going to say.
Yeah, last episode I was going to say she did that to me. Then I gave a beautiful thing about electricity and she smashed it.
We got to move on.
I got to let go.
We cannot hold on to these things.
I want to take some time to thank Shamali for all of her love and kindness in our friendship and just like allowing me the opportunity to do the recap because I love doing
it. You're so welcome, Asta. Shama Sangeeta, I got you. And I always got you. I'm crying.
Oh, man. Starting off with yawns and tears. A lot of bodily fluids in this episode.
Bollywood? I thought that's where you were going.
Bollywood fluids.
So why don't you stop procrastinating and what did we talk about last episode?
It was a wonderful episode that I did.
Okay, I'm going to take over.
Okay, sounds good.
So you guys take a deep breath and figure out what's happening. Basically, last episode, we talked about all the ways in which we can be dear to Krishna. Mm-hmm. And some of the really difficult ways that Krishna's like, oh, just like be pure and expert and like, you know, renounce this or don't do that and don't lament and have no desires. And like, we're like, what? That's really hard. But also, Prabhupada wants to emphasize it's achievable, right? Like if we put all of these energies into Krishna, then it's all okay, right? Like we can try to be experts in Krishna consciousness, try to be pure. It's just about the effort at the end of the day. And that's the recap.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Okay, we're moving on.
All right. The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
What happened?
I like that screwed up, but you guys got right back into it.
We nailed it.
And that's kind of a testament to our spiritual lives. So we're gonna
get right into it.
I thought you stopped, but I think you thought I stopped, right?
You stopped.
I did?
Yes. Guys, the point is, our spiritual lives, we're going to screw up, but if we can just keep trucking along.
But we also can learn from what happened so it doesn't happen again. I was just curious.
What happened?
Did it feel like it was higher?
Lower? Oh, I didn't. I just thought like kind of like you switched pitch and I thought you were going to stop. So I stopped.
Okay, that's okay.
But I shouldn't have stopped.
That's okay.
So
yeah, let's take a moment to see where we screw up in our spiritual life.
And the origin of our screw up is Shamali Devidasi, and my good friend.
Love of my life.
Running high.
Okay.
And we keep chugging along in our spiritual life.
We did it. At the end of the day, we did it.
Yep. And this is an exciting episode because we're about to wrap up chapter 12 if we get there.
We'll get there.
The Gita is divided into like three different sections. So we're finishing up the middle six chapters. We did the first six, which was one theme, and six, and that's what we're wrapping up now.
Wait, correct me if I'm wrong, Priya. Is that two-thirds of the Gita?
That is correct.
Wow.
Wow. Yay. Well, that's good math. The math is mathing.
I'm proud.
The math is mathing.
I am proud of
you. It's good.
Good job. Two-thirds Remember of the when she said we're halfway there on like chapter 10?
Okay. It's a hard book. Okay. There's a lot of chapters. Okay. It's Wait, hard actually, to divide by two.
Nine is halfway.
So I was right. No, but I definitely said it when I was wrong.
Yeah, you said it when you were wrong. I was trying to figure out. That's the important thing to focus on.
Let's just focus on when she was wrong.
No, let's just focus on Krishna. So how about we do that?
All right.
That's better.
Text number, chapter 12, text number 18-19, Priyadarshini.
Krishna is still speaking thus far. I just wanted to say that out there because Krishna's been talking for a bit and we hadn't kind of said that for a while. So Krishna says, one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoise in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me.
Wow, beautiful.
I would like to reinstate my statement of, can we just take one of these texts and become that kind of person? Because this to me sounds like I can take some of these and I can be like, oh, easy, right? But then some of these like, someone who doesn't care for residents, who doesn't care for any residents, where do you live? My whole personality is I love my home.
That's your whole personality.
I'm just kidding. Okay, it's not my whole personality, but I am a homebody.
Right.
Like I'm just being silly, but also like, whoa, like what?
Totally.
And that when I think of that particular one, and I know I'm skipping because we should start from the beginning, but when I think about that one, I think about gurus, right? Like whose main purpose is Krishna consciousness, who travel from place to place. They don't necessarily have a home, like a main facility or residence. They just preach and go from temple to temple. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, that makes sense. That's amazing. But like me? Whoa.
Yeah. How about we go through all of them and then we pick the one that we want to focus on? The ones that we could be like, okay, let's do that one.
I feel like Prabhupada would be mad at us, but we can try it. Okay.
Or at least give examples of each one that we think of.
Yeah. Okay. One who is equal to friends and enemies.
I think...
This is quite a task.
That means you're going to have to stop harassing me.
I know. I have to be nice to Rishamala. Oh, I'd rather quit the podcast.
That's so funny.
I'm just joking. I love
Rishamala. This face of you guys love hating each other is very entertaining.
We love hating each other. It's the best activity.
They actually love each other for anyone who's listening. It might not sound that way, but we all love each other very much.
Little
faces here. Yeah, and there.
We're going through something.
Some Gatorade, some Saturn and Gatorade.
Yeah. Actually, Mercury's in Gatorade. I mean, like retrograde as we're filming this. It started on August 4th. Yeah, so we're still in it.
What does that mean?
It means communication is disruptive and fiery. A lot of technological things will be going awry. Like literally, your air conditioning just shut off, right?
I know.
And so, like a
Never
lot
happened.
Of communication and technology are really affected during this time.
Okay. Wow, very interesting. Let's get back to the text.
Right.
And you know, one thing about friends and enemies, I think that's what it means also to have a transcendental vision, because when we think on a bodily platform, we just think, I love my families and I love my friends because they're in relation to me, to my body, to my soul, but in this small life. But when we expand our vision, we start tapping into maybe a much broader scale of love and compassion for all human entities because we're seeing them on a soul level. And on a soul level, we've had millions and bajillions of families, of parents, of friends. So we're not just seeing it from a narrow scope. And that's hard because I'm attached to my friends and my family in this life. And I'm thinking in terms of this life and this body. So I think that's being equal to friends and enemies is coming from that perspective of having that vision to really see we've been in this rat race for thousands and thousands and billions of years. And
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's really difficult, especially when it's like family members that get on your nerves and whatnot. And like literally as a devotee, we have to step back and be like, or this is what I have to do, is I have to take a step back and be like, okay, Krishna's in this person. I have to love and respect them.
Right.
Or maybe just not hate them, maybe, you know, like be equal to them and try to send love from my heart. But it's so hard because like family is I don't know about you guys, but like the karma that we have with our family is like some of the deepest karmic ties. And sometimes they can be the hardest things to navigate because, you know, your family knows the buttons that they can push to like irk you. And so finding a happy balance of like being kind to your friends, but also people that are quote unquote enemies and the people like you don't get along with so well in this life. It's like, it's like, finding that place of like, okay, this person has Krishna inside of them and I need to be nice to them.
Right.
When you guys were talking about this, like, I think that's a really good point. I just want to say, like, when you both were like, oh, yeah, this is hard. And I was like, you guys have enemies? Like,
oh, I
who
wasn't
are these foes that no, are
like people in your like
I wanted sometimes to clarify.
People at work that like mistreat you or like say mean things or like people in your family who like say mean things or like that's what I was talking about.
I thought we're going in order and not choosing the one that pertains to us. That's what I was doing.
Yeah. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
We're going in order, breaking each one down, right?
Yeah.
But we were just talking about friends and enemies, and you both spoke about like enemies, and I wanted to like break it down to something simpler because I think enemies is such a big word, right? Like I don't think most people nowadays don't have enemies.
No,
like,
yeah, it's I like don't a, think.
It's more maybe like someone who like doesn't always wish you well, or like you have some sort of difficult relationship with.
Yeah,
or,
I was thinking coworkers and family.
Difficult situations.
That's interesting. I was almost even, I kind of didn't think of even about enemies. In my comment, I was thinking friends and versus strangers. Having love for even people who aren't immediately close to your heart. But even more for, I guess.
But it doesn't say you have to have love. It just says you have to treat them equally.
Yeah.
And I think this is sort of the same, in the same vein as when a person can treat a janitor and the president of the United States the same way. Right.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that. There shouldn't be a bias of how we treat people as much as we can. It is difficult when it is like a difficult relationship or this or that, but like to try to see everyone.
Absolutely. Beyond their assignations, jobs, whatever.
If you can. And I think that's it is hard when there are those people that kind of are, you have that karmic relationship with, that poke or like try to create difficult situations. But yeah, I think Prabhupada's saying be a bigger person with those people and then treat friends well.
That's what the heavy sigh was for. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, robot. Right. Try my best.
Okay, Christian. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Who is equipoise in honor and dishonor?
Ooh, can I say the first thing that came to my mind when I read that? I actually thought of my parents' spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Goswami, because he was Srila Prabhupada's right-hand man, like super big figure in this bhakti community. And he was personally there helping care for Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada was passing away. After Srila Prabhupada passed away, some people just... It lasted for a temporary amount of time, but they spread a rumor like, oh, he must have done something to make Srila Prabhupada sick. Horrible rumors.
Wow.
And he could have been totally, totally in distress. Imagine he gave his life for Prabhupada and then someone to come around and be like, you must have done something. It's you who, whatever, I don't know. Poisoned him. You killed Prabhupada. Like heavy rumors. I don't remember I was super young, so I don't remember the exact rumors, but I remember them going around like he must have done something. And he really handled it with being totally equipoised. I don't think he even tried to entertain them or speak back. No, I didn't. Like he just kept doing his duty and serving Prabhupada's mission. And his actions spoke volumes of what he was and meant for Prabhupada. And I think that's so difficult because whenever we think, you know, like I said, our egos root us to this material world. So whenever we think someone thinks badly of us or someone's speaking about us, it riles up something within us. And I think of someone like Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was such a big public figure, and he didn't even let it phase him. And I think, wow, that is next level with such heavy accusations of trying to, in a way, dishonor him.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
That is a good example.
Yeah.
Do you feel like I feel like Krishna's very good at like talking about everything and anything that could potentially be relevant to anyone and everyone. And I don't know if it necessarily means that do you think honor and dishonor is something that people face at one point or another in their lives? Like most people?
Yeah. go ahead.
Yeah, even in this podcast, you know, like there, like there's comments underneath some of these videos that are like really hateful sometimes, you know, and like they call us all sorts of names. But like, I don't think we've ever let it face us because we know what we're trying to do. We're trying to do a service for Srila Prabhupada. We're trying to do a service for Krishna.
Yeah.
And like, we don't lament. Like, yeah, they can call us whatever they want to call us. I don't particularly care, but I believe in our greater mission, right?
Yeah.
And some, you know, some people would look at those comments and be like, ooh,
right,
that's pretty dishonorable.
Like, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. Yeah. And like, that it would be,
Yeah. And Prabhupada says in the purport, because I think Priya, maybe the root of your question comes from like honor and dishonor sound like such archaic terms. Like, ah, does that really happen in our day-to-day lives? But Prabhupada says, yeah, sometimes one is praised, sometimes one is defamed. And that is the nature of human society. It always happens, whether it's one person, a friend gossiping about you, or someone just doesn't know you, or in a big scale way. But a devotee is always transcendental to this. He calls it artificial fame and infamy, distress or happiness. And then the next line I love, Prabhupada says a devotee is called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak. Silent means that one should not speak nonsense. Mm. So
nice. I think you hit some of the points for the next few. That's really good.
Mm.
I like it. Yeah. Silence just means don't speak nonsense. I think that's wise. It's like that phrase, you can tell a fool when he starts speaking or something like that. Like you can tell if a person's a fool when they speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So when it's like, open your mouth,
You be cautious with the things you say. Okay, the next thing was, so honor and dishonor. So someone who is equipoised. Oh, so this person has to be equipoised in heat and cold.
Now that's super interesting because those are physical discomforts. So I think like really trying to stay equipoised through physical discomforts is difficult. Now, of course, if he can get up and turn on the AC, sure. But maybe he's talking about situations where like whatever.
I feel like that's like a mental strength, right? Mm-hmm. If we can conquer our mind during those things, we can conquer our mind through anything, right?
Yeah, like no one's talking about like a kind of heat that's burning you. It's it's like a just uncomfortable. So like if you can still in the uncomfortable, like continue to live your life and continue to do the things you need to do and not let it like overrule you. But that's still very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone who's equipoised in happiness and distress.
Yeah.
We've talked about this one a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
Fame and infamy. Mm. So this is the example that Shyamali gave.
Yeah.
You want to say something, Shyama?
No, I was thinking about the podcast, but yeah, go ahead.
Like not getting too caught up.
Yeah. I mean, like literally like it's not all glories with this podcast. You know, there's a lot of people that love this podcast and they're like, it changed our life. But then there's a lot of people who are like, you're not saying the right thing. Or like you did this wrong. Or like how can you be so silly? Or, you know, I'm being nice in this, but like, you know what I mean?
You're not the right ethnicity to be doing this podcast.
Right. There's so many things like that. Yeah. And it happened a lot more earlier than more so now, but like it's like there's so many things, and if we're attached to fame, if we're attached to honor, that can be really hurtful to us.
Absolutely.
But if we're not attached to those things and we stick to our devotional service and we stick to what we know is the right thing that we're doing for Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, then literally that, and none of that stuff can touch us.
I
also think the fact that it happened at the beginning, it was a test, right? That we overcame. It was a test of like, you still want to do this with all the comments and all of that. And now we don't really get those kinds of comments so much anymore. And
that's
doing our service. We have had the same mindset of this is what we're doing. We're happy to do it. This is our service. And like, you know, Krishna kind of cleared the path. But I also thought about just like fame and infamy. There's so many ways fame and infamy can be described. Like, in a smaller setting of just like an ISKCON temple, someone might be seeking fame by being the temple president or the in charge of a festival or this or that. And like how equipoise are we when we're given positions of power or fame, meaning that you're recognized by others, right?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, I'm not going to name anyone by name, but like, I think we've met a few devotees in these positions who are well-known, famous, you could say, and the humility and like they, treat everyone nicely. Like that's the example, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter that someone is seeing you as, oh my gosh, you're famous. It doesn't matter. You're a devotee, just like any other devotee. Like,
absolutely.
Your service just happens to be a little different and that's okay. Like equipoise, right? It's hard, but it's the best.
Yeah. 100%. Wow. All right. Next one.
Who is always free from contaminating association.
Ooh, what does that mean to you guys? Contaminating association, like free from people who contaminate us or from us contaminating others?
Mm-mm. It's towards us.
Yeah, people who contaminate us.
Like you do not seek, basically it's like choose who you choose are wisely. Around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if your friends are not conducive to your spiritual growth.
Absolutely.
Then they are contaminating association.
I think that's a challenge for a lot of people in a lot of ways. And I can say, like, as a Hispanic woman, I have a lot of family members who, like, are... Actually, this is the point I'm going to make. You can't always choose who your association is, but you can. Some people, I know there's some families who, when they became devotees, they kind of left their family behind and they're like, we're doing our own thing. And then other people, like my parents... they kind of just included our families in everything we did.
Yeah.
And they're not, or they were not favorable for a long time. And now I was telling Abhijit the other day, I was talking to someone. Oh my gosh, this is like so wild because, so my grandparents, whenever there's a tradition in Hispanic culture to say like, how would you translate? Bendiciones.
Blessings.
Yeah, but like when you kind of just like, it's kind of interesting. You ask for blessings from elders and then they give you blessings and every interaction. So when you say hi, you say like blessings and then they say like, may God bless you. Mm. At least that's in my family. And my whole family, they're not everyone's devotees and they say, may Krishna bless you every time. My grandma.
Your non-devotee
family. My non-devotee family members always say, may Krishna bless you. But what was more interesting was on a WhatsApp family group that is mostly non-devotees, my grandmother's sister saw a picture of my nephew and said, may Krishna bless him.
Aww.
And I thought that's like far removed from it being like my grandma who's always around us or like my aunt. You know what I mean? Like it's like one step, someone who doesn't live near or is around us, but like they're taking in Krishna consciousness. So for me, it's like, well, okay, like they were not conducive to my Krishna consciousness per se, but like now they're all spiritualized and like, oof.
That's really
Priya,
big.
I love that story.
I love that.
It's to me, that just shows the mentality of it doesn't have to be so black and white. You don't just have to cut ties with anybody who's not Krishna conscious. Right. No, you can just keep being yourselves. And we've been given our family for a reason, you know, and even extended family. And there's a difference with totally taking in their association that transforms our own life views or giving our association and then still spending quality time with them.
And I think that's the main point of the word contaminating association.
Yeah.
It's like if they are taking you in into their mood and their energy and their everything, then that's contaminating association.
Right.
But if it's someone who is maybe not Krishna consciousness, but open, friendly, maybe, you know, also family, whatever the situation might be, hey, that's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To introduce Krishna in whatever capacity. Like my grandma is not going to be a Krishna devotee in this lifetime, but she's offered food to Krishna. She says, Hare Krishna to devotees. Like she's doing service at the temple if I bring her to make garlands, you know, like,
oh, wow.
So again, like, yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. Gotcha. I love hearing that.
It's really sweet. It like I don't know, makes me feel happy. It's so cool to see people really respect and appreciate each other without having the same particular faith.
Yeah. And imagine we cut them off before they even had a chance to get to know the philosophy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with a maturity in your own spirituality to be comfortable enough to be yourself, even if everyone around you isn't. Mm-hmm. Because maybe someone, if they're a little newer, a little not as mature in their spirituality, they're a little like rough around the edges and feel like, I have to cut all ties. I can't. Like, I don't know. It's like, relax. It'll be okay.
And
be
if yourself. Maybe for some people who feel like they're so new in Krishna consciousness and they can't handle the association of those people, that's okay. Surround yourself by devotees until you're strong enough.
Right.
And if that, because I can understand that too, right?
Yeah.
It's like that study we were talking about a few episodes ago. I can't remember. That is like you introduce one pessimistic person into a group and it drastically changes how effective those people can be.
Totally.
And so it's like depending on your own strength, you have to gauge for yourself.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay. Next one is always silent and satisfied with anything.
Yeah.
I think always silent is going to be a problem for me and you.
I foresee it to be difficult.
It's a problem for most of us.
Yeah.
We're not always just talking about Krishna, but we can endeavor.
Ooh, yeah, we can endeavor.
That was sweet because I really thought you were just going to say, that's a problem for you, eh?
No. This one is a flaw that we both share, you know?
Flaw?
Yeah.
You're both perfect in my eyes.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Priya. Thanks, Mom. Okay. So nice.
Perfect. But yeah, as Shamily said, for silent, it was about not saying nonsense, not necessarily just not talking.
And you know what's interesting, right? Not speaking nonsense. People who get to a very elevated spiritual platform, it's so beautiful that you tap into almost the power that's there in the disciplic succession of teacher, disciple, because spiritual masters, they're really banking on Krishna for everything, even to inspire their own very words and actions, you know? So they really try to become a conduit to all of that spiritual energy. They tap into that, that their words don't even become their own. They're just relying on Krishna's inspiring me from the heart what to say.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Who doesn't care for any residents?
That's hard. But
yeah, I think you touched upon that a little bit.
Who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service.
Yeah, fixed in knowledge, steady. You're not so easily swayed by things and opinions and alternative thoughts, maybe.
Such a person is very dear to me.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great pair of verses there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very detailed information, which details are good when you're trying to find a path, steps, you know, that SMART goals. Like you have to kind of know what the goals are.
What does it look like?
Yeah, in order to achieve it. So Krishna is being gracious and really giving us all the details. And
absolutely.
We're just going to try our best. Wait a lot of these.
Yeah.
Guys, are we on the very last text
20
of chapter 12?
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
We're going to do this.
We did it, guys.
Okay, wow. Shama Sangeeta, take it away.
All right. Chapter 12, text 20. Krishna says, those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me.
Aww. Say it again. Say it again.
Yep. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me.
Mm. I love that they call it the imperishable path. Mm-hmm. You will never perish on the path of devotion.
I thought that too. I was like, that's really reassuring, right?
Yeah.
And that, I think that's loving. The first time that's been used in that context, right? Mm-hmm. This imperishable path of devotional service.
Yeah.
And yeah, that reminds me of like earlier when Krishna was talking about like whatever steps you make in this lifetime, they don't go away. You literally start back up where you left off in a previous lifetime.
Yeah.
And that means like nothing that you do in Krishna consciousness or in your service or anything in devotional life, nothing goes to waste.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you don't have that in material life.
No, yeah. Because in material life, maybe you're a billionaire, then you die, then you're a baby with no money.
Exactly.
You know?
That's exactly what happens.
Exactly, yeah, literally. Right? You literally lose everything. Elon Musk dies tomorrow, he's a baby with no money.
Yeah. And I hope he's had some prasadam because otherwise, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oof. That's wild.
And it's interesting. It says in this chapter from verse 2 through the end. So now we just did text 20. The Supreme Lord basically explained the process of transcendental service to be able to approach him. He laid the steps and said, these are the qualities you need. And there's a saying that we shouldn't act in a way that, act in a way that Krishna will want to see you, you know? So we try to elevate ourselves, our qualities. And Krishna told us, try to strive for this. It's difficult, but he's going to help us. He's there holding our hand along the way. And if we do that, such processes are very dear to the Lord and he accepts a person engaged in them. And I love how he said, Prabhupada wrote engaged in them, not perfected them. We're trying. Aww,
I love that. That's really sweet.
It's you mentioned something about like being seen, right? Yeah. And so there's this quote I love in comedy. It's from Steve Martin. Hmm. He says, be so good they can't ignore you.
Oh.
And so I think the same is can be said with our relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
You know? I love that.
Like, be so good that Krishna can't ignore you because you're like on this path and you're striving. You have faith and you have love. And like Krishna can't ignore that because it's so strong.
Yeah.
Be so good they can't ignore you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Beautiful.
So we're basically, this is the end of the chapter. And Prabhupada says, in this chapter, it is decided that through good association, one develops attachment for pure devotional service and thereby accepts a bona fide spiritual master from him or her, from him, begins to hear and chant and observe the regulative principles of devotional service with faith, attachment, and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Mm. So you, if you had to like encapsulate
right.
The whole process of Krishna consciousness, it's right there. Start with good association, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Someone who will get you to start thinking about things. Maybe it doesn't even have to be someone that is a devotee just yet. Even just somebody who makes you think, what is life about? Like, what am I doing? And all these things. Then from that association, one develops attachment. And then one becomes devoted, like, you know, pure devotional service is the next thing that kind of like makes you want to be a part of this, right? Like to understand Krishna better. Service is like, I have a friend who asked their spiritual master, can I just do service instead of japa? Like I'd love to just like do service. Like I can do this all day, every
day.
That's
a good question.
And he was like, no, you can't, aww, you know?
Wah,
but
wah.
Like it is something that is like, very appealing to so many people to do service, right? Because we feel fulfilled and happy when we serve others. Even if it doesn't seem that way all the time, it really is our nature to serve others.
Yeah.
And so through devotional service, then we accept a spiritual master. Then we hear and chant and observe the principles. We develop faith, attachment, and devotion. Mm. And that's kind of the process.
Mm. Yeah. And talking of devotional service, there's this one line, devotional service as described in the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, which we just finished, is more congenial. Now, Priya, what is congenial for those who might not know?
It is, read the sentence again so I can say within context.
Devotional service as described in these middle six chapters, which we just finished. Well, I added that, is more congenial. So devotional service is more congenial.
Congenial is like pleasant, gets along well, like just goes with, like goes, flows nicely.
Mm. Agreeable.
Like agreeable, yeah. I think of Miss Congeniality.
Great movie. That's my favorite movie. Literally my favorite movie.
I know, it's one of my favorites too. It's a good one. But yeah, so what about congenial?
Devotional service is more congenial. Devotional service, as described in the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, is more congenial.
Oh, okay. Well, because it's like, I mean, all the things he described, right? Like doing this, like all the qualifications a person is doing.
Being a friend to others and all these things that feel like, yeah, those are qualities that anyone could get behind.
Yeah.
I feel like chapter 12 is like this giant checklist of like things.
Absolutely.
Like the human being that we need to be.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Like what we need to get rid of in our character flaws and what we need to work towards in our character development. You know?
Right. I love it. And at the same time, I like want to close my eyes and like, you know, we have this running joke of like closing your eyes and then reaching out. Kind of like, it's too many details that feels a little overwhelming to try to be all those things. But at the same time, it's so nice to have that list and try to just do the things that come naturally and develop those things further and further. Because everything happens naturally, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It is a process. There are steps and like, it will just make sense more and more the more you're in.
Absolutely.
Make your own steps into
it. That's such a good point that it happens naturally. Because I think Prabhupada even said something like that. You don't have to think of all these individual qualities to try to artificially do. It just chant, do the process. It's all there. And like you say, it happens naturally.
But it does require effort, right?
Because absolutely.
Like not trying to run someone over when they just cut you off. Like that requires effort to like not be like annoyed by that, right? Like everything that like Krishna talks about in this chapter, right? Like don't lament, don't grieve, don't renounce or like learn how to renounce, be free from all pains. Like this is like quite an ambitious checklist.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Go ahead. I think we're going to say the same thing.
Yeah. It's like the sentiment is like, okay, if you're following some of those things, some of the other things will come naturally, right? If you're practicing the Krishna consciousness and you're really understanding the Bhagavad Gita, you are becoming a better person. Therefore, you will treat friends and enemies the same. Like some of these things will instinctively happen when you make the first step. Not
absolutely.
All of them, obviously. Like you're not going to like renounce everything just, but it does happen gradually over time. So like in terms of someone who's like, oh my gosh, I got to make this whole checklist and check one at a time. Like, don't worry. Like it will feel more natural the more you go into it.
Totally.
That's
the
gist of what I was trying to say. But it does take a lot of work. Not to say that.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. Like Prabhupada wanted to say.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to do any last point on this?
No, I'm excited for chapter 13. But before we do that,
we have something
had an idea.
In store.
Yeah. I think sometimes we do these little things at the end of chapters that kind of try to summarize the entire chapter. I think we've done, what have we done in the past?
We've done like a rap version of a chapter summary.
We did like a storytelling.
We did.
Yeah.
One, we've done a poem, I think.
Maybe.
We've done a couple of things.
Yeah. But, so this was a collaborative effort. It was collaborative. You had the idea to do it. What version are we doing this time?
We're going to try to speak it in spoken word.
Yes.
And in the spirit of Asta, Shama, Sangeeta, spontaneity, we did not practice this beforehand. So whatever goes down, will go down.
Yeah. But I just want to like preface before we start is like, if you're listening at home, you know, if you've ever been to spoken word, there's like snaps that happen.
Okay. We snap?
We're snapping.
Yeah. So after every stanza that we read, you're listening in the car or at home or wherever, if you could just snap as long like you were in the performance, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Keep one hand on the wheel if you're driving and then snap with your other hand.
And are we snapping?
We're also snapping.
Okay, we're also snapping. We have not practiced this at all.
Yes. Okay, so you set the tempo, Sham. I have no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So now for this poetry slam, we welcome Krishna to the stage. Yes,
Krishna, please join our table. Please.
I forgot that it snaps and you started clapping.
And Krishna is here on this night. He's doing spoken word and he's telling us the entire summary of chapter 12.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Arjuna asks, "Who knows you best, Krishna? Those who worship form or the vast formless light?" And I say, both paths lead to me, but devotion with love shines brightest, you see.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Worship the formless. It's hard to grasp, but for those who hold me in heart, it's an easier task. Serve me with love. Let go of your fear and know I'm always ever so near.
Oh,
wow. If you can't surrender, do your duty well. Dedicate your actions in my name, dwell. Let go of results and you'll be free. In every act, connect with me.
Those who live without hate or pride, who stay content with me as their guide, who forgive, love, and stand so still, they find my love, they find my will.
The one who isn't troubled, who doesn't trouble another, is dear to me like a true brother. In devotion, find peace, and in love, find me. For I am the truth, the ultimate sea.
Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, for Krishna!
Thank you, Krishna, for showing up to that.
That was great. Wow, Krishna's really good at spoken word.
He's really good at spoken
word.
So
good.
Okay.
All right, any final realizations from this chapter, ladies? What are we trying to work on in our lives? I'm going to try to work on... Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, can we switch the question to which one was your favorite text?
Ooh.
Oh, that's so difficult.
Okay, let's switch it.
That's the whole chapter difficult 12? Than which one, what are you going to work on?
I mean, we all know what our flaws are, so we can work on certain things. What's our favorite one? I liked this notion of like, chapter 12 was a really short chapter.
You know what I just noticed? The last, I don't know how far it goes. Oh my God. Okay, let me keep going further back.
Oh, remember when we talked about in chapter 12, like if you can't do this, you can do that. If you can't do this, you can do that. If you can't do that. I love that part of chapter 12 because it shows how merciful Krishna is. And it's not like, hey, if you can't do this, you're going to hell, right? It's like not like that at all. And it's like, hey, if you're not at the stage of devotional service, which sometimes we fall down and we can't do what we need to do, and that's okay. Krishna literally says, that's okay.
Yeah.
Then just try to do this And you're like, oh, Krishna, that one's a little bit hard too. And then Krishna's like, that's okay too. If you can't do that, let's just lower the bar a little bit. And Krishna constantly just lowering the bar is my favorite thing about Krishna. Literally my favorite thing about Krishna is he keeps lowering the bar, and I love that.
That's hilarious.
What a beautiful God.
Those are like like 9, 10, 11-ish?
Yep, earlier on.
I realized what's my favorite thing about this is starting from text 13 all the way to text, 20? The ending of every single text, let me read to you. What? Starting from there, just a
good point.
Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Next text. Is very dear to me. Next text. Is very dear to me. Next text. Such a devotee is very dear to me. Is very dear to me. Is very, very, very dear to me.
Wow.
All of those end with that. And that's my favorite thing. That it's totally Krishna's proclamation of, he doesn't even say such a devotee. Such a devotee of mine. You're mine. You're very, very dear to me.
Shyamali, I have never put those things together. He literally ends like 5-6 texts in a row with, 13. If you do blah, 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 you are very dear to me.
8 texts.
You never noticed that?
I never noticed that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I noticed like it was like kind of repetitive, but like I didn't notice that it was so many consecutive texts in a row and that it ends with very, very dear to me.
Yeah. I started going further and further back. I was like, and again. Oh my God, how far back does this go?
Wow.
That's really sweet. Good very, eye. Very dear. Thank very
good,
nice.
Good eye.
Yeah.
I love text 13 and 14. I put a little heart next to it.
Oh.
That was the one that I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, one who is not envious, but is kind. A kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee is very dear to me.
Aww.
And the reason I like it is because I feel like this one is like one of the ones I feel like I can actually do. Like the most of the things. Some of the other ones were like, give up your house. Not really, but you know, like kind of like
don't
that.
Don't be so attached.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Like my whole personality is my house.
So that's
right,
hard.
Right.
But here it's like, I really, like one of the things that I appreciate the most in people is how kind they are.
Mm.
And like, it's one of the things that is hardest for me to accept is when someone is unkind to others. It doesn't even have, it's not about me, but like there's some sensitivity I have to that. So like, I love that Krishna's like, being kind to all living entities is actually really important. Like, it's like, yes, thank you. I feel seen. I feel like, you know, so
I love that.
I love this verse for that. And like a few other reasons, I really also love the engaged in devotional service with determination because it speaks to my, you know, personality.
Yeah.
So I just really love that one.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Anything else, ladies, before we close out?
I think that's chapter 12.
What a beautiful chapter.
And thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of devotional service.
Join us next time when we start chapter 13. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.